Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Dorsey Wright video from Monday, March the 25th. I'm Jay Gragnani.
And I'm Ian Saunders.
And last week of March, as we're standing here starting the last week of March, which also means the last week of the quarter, which is incredibly hard to believe that the first quarter of 2019 is almost in the books.
It has flown by.
But there's been a lack of, or there has not been a lack of things to talk about in the first quarter of 2019. And a lot of that... you know, a lot of the things that have been talked about have been a whole lot of noise out there in the marketplace, a whole lot of reasons and causes for concern, whether it be the trade tensions or trade wars or trade skirmishes, however you want to call what's, you know, the U.S. and China stuff, just general global growth concerns, mm-hmm. the Brexit issues. There's been a whole lot of these things that have been out there, a whole lot of geopolitical risks and concerns and very top of mind for many investors. Meanwhile, in the background, the equity market globally and specifically the U.S. equity market has continued to move forward. And as we're recording this through Friday, at least through Friday's action, the S&P is up about 12%, the Dow's up about 10%. Mm-hmm. And so most of those indexes have thus far, with a little less than 1 week to go now, have shown, you know, very positive returns for the quarter of 2019, coming off a very volatile and a tough time period in the market last quarter.
Absolutely, and that's something that was, as you're saying, it's been pretty steady, right? It's been just continuing to creep along, continue to add to those returns, which can make it seem difficult if we get a down day like we got on Friday.
Yeah, you're right.
People might brings back flashes of a quarter ago, if you get a quick drawdown. But that type of thing we were just discussing is normal to expect in a kind of continuing uptrend. It's not going to, every day is not going to be up. You will get some days sprinkled in there for this, that, or the other that are going to cause things to pull down a little bit. But we didn't see too much change from an indicator perspective, even with that couple hundred point down day on Friday.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And, mm-hmm. you know, you look at the markets, and obviously, you know, if the market could go up without any down days, it'd be great. But, you know, the reality of pullbacks in the market are healthy, they're normal, they're what we should expect. And in many instances, at least Friday and to some extent today, Monday, as we're looking at this, we've seen equity prices move back into what we would consider to be more normal levels. A lot of things got ahead of themselves on their weekly distributions, mm-hmm. or their trading bands. And if you look on the right-hand side of any chart, you'll see a top, a mid, and a bot on that side of the charts. And what that represents is a 10-week distribution or 10-week trading band. And you'll see a number on the top of the chart for OBOS. And that just gives you a number of how overbought, if it's a positive number, or how oversold, if a negative number, that particular stock or index or ETF might be. And a lot of the equity markets got to being pretty overbought. You know, mm-hmm. you saw the S&P and a lot of the broad-based indexes get up into what we would consider to be pretty extreme overbought territory. And just one way to think about that concept is a rubber band. And if you stretch a rubber band out a little bit, you keep on stretching it, and you keep on stretching it, and you keep on stretching it, the more you stretch it, the greater the probability becomes that it regresses back to its normal condition or mm-hmm. normal state. Mm-hmm. And so far, that's what we've been experiencing generally within the equity market. You're seeing things pull back closer to the middle of those trading bands, which if you take a normal distribution bell curve and turn it up on its side, that midpoint would be right in the middle of that weekly distribution. And that's where the stock or the index of the market, that's where it wants to trade. That's normal. That's, you know, the midpoint. 68% of the time, you're going to be within one standard deviation of that level. The top of the trading band represents 100% overbought or three standard deviations above normal. Nonetheless, what we've seen at least so far is pullbacks and regressions, by and large, back towards mm-hmm. that more normal condition.
And you can see that by looking at a few of the indicators that we were discussing mm-hmm. with the under the technical indicator reports section. For the NYSE, we've measured the weekly distribution for the New York Stock Exchange. It's measuring essentially where that trading band sits, averaging those across the members of the New York Stock Exchange. And right now, that's right around zero. It's a negative 2%. And so coming back from higher levels, up at 44%, really kind of right in line with where we've seen it kind of ride the middle ranges throughout the past few years. So not at the drastic levels it was at in the fourth quarter, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Another thing, you know, that is certainly worth mentioning today is a big topic last week being yields, interest rates, yield curve inverting, where the long end of the curve falls below that of the short end of the curve. And that is something that's very real, something that has certainly happened, something that exists the first time it's happened, really going back prior to 2007 and 2006, where you saw that yield curve inversion as the short-term rates were above the long-term rates. So that is absolutely a very real thing that has happened. What we've also seen, and we've published quite a bit in our daily equity report, and you can go back and you look at Thursday and Friday's daily equity report. There's some good information contained in there. So it has happened. What it doesn't mean, though, is that we are absolutely headed for a downturn in the market. We haven't seen trends turn negative. Oftentimes, historically, at least the past couple of times that it's happened, what it has been 18 to 24 months thereabouts before the start of recessions on average, you know. So it doesn't mean we need to run out and sell everything today, but it certainly is cause for reason to pay attention to what's going on, be on top of the indicators, understanding where things like U.S. equities and international equities continue to rank and dolly up at the top. If we begin to see some shifting out of the buy signals or the tally numbers of those asset classes in favor of more defensive areas, that's going to be a big warning sign. But right now, it means nothing more for, you know, the rankings and the trends other than to make sure you're paying attention, make sure you're looking at that dashboard and understanding where things stand today. So something we'll continue to watch for, watch and see how that plays out. But it's certainly something. I'm sure many of you are getting questions and causes for concern from clients. And so go back and Thursday and Friday's daily equity reports. There's a lot of good information, a lot of good perspective that you can take away from that and use as some talking points.
Absolutely. And there's another piece that I think shifting gears a little bit that we were talking about from Friday's reports that we changed around a few of the charts that we had, which was could be viewed as quite a big change coming into the charts there.
Yeah, and it's something that is probably long overdue, but what we've recently done is historically the default chart scales kind of stopped at about $200 per box. In other words, on a stock from $20 to $100, it's $1 per box. From $100 to $200, it's $2 a box. $200 up was $4 per box. And then there's, you know, default scales on the way down. What never had been addressed really was stocks that are up in, you know, $4 and $5 and $6 and $1,000 a share at the default $4 per box. And so, and what we've done is there's a total of about 270 stocks within our database of U.S. equity stocks that is, you know, about 2,700 or so, about 3,000 securities. So it certainly affects some, not a ton. There's less than 20 of those 270 that are S&P 500 names. Biggest names out there being Amazon was a name that was affected. So that's one is certainly top of mind. Boeing is another one that is a stock that got adjusted. And basically what we did is adjusted those charts to reflect default scales going forward that can account for stocks that get up into the Amazon world of pricing per share. And so, you know, as you basically each dollar now, and I don't have it up in front of me, but it goes from so now at, from 200 to 400 is $4 a box.
Exactly.
And then from 400 to $800, it goes up to $8 a box. 800 to 1600 goes up to $16 a box. $1,600 to $3,200 a share goes up to $32
a box, which is where we're seeing Amazon at.
Which is exactly where Amazon is now.
And the idea is that you wanted, when you came to the chart picture of Amazon before, I mean, it was buy signal, sell signal, buy signal, sell signal. I mean, you'd like to have your signals lead to further signals to get an idea of that trend. And, I mean, pulling up the default chart of Amazon now, it gives a pretty solid representation of that. So.
Yeah, it certainly does. And so, you know, the goal there was to make the default chart, more meaningful, more usable for you, but not have to force the entire chart at that particular box in case something falls or continues to rise. You know, I think the chart scaling goes way up beyond the $3,200 per box. But with that said, it's important as you look through some of the names, again, be sure to look at the report from Friday. There's a link to a list of all of those names. But if you have alerts set on those charts, be sure to go in, evaluate the alerts, make sure they're still reasonable based on the changing of that scale. Some charts like Amazon affected the current picture. There's other stocks out there that had historically been above $400 and are now below that didn't necessarily affect the current picture on that chart, but affected just some of the history when it was trading above $400. So again, just be sure to go in and take a look at some of those charts and your alerts and any potential alerts you have set on there. One other thing we did want to mention is today, as a matter of fact, Friday night we rolled it out, but officially starting a new partnership that we have with Options Play. If you use options in your business, if you're considering using options in your business, if you just want to look at options in your business, we've now integrated a new tool into the system that we've opened up access for a 45-day free trial of the Options Play system and tools. That is a phenomenal resource to help generate options ideas, find stocks that have reasonable options on them, mm-hmm. whether it be just simply buying calls, whether it be buying puts, or whether it be covered calls that you might consider on positions. But there's a couple places that you'll see an Options Play logo show up right next to the name of every single stock on our system. If you pull up the chart, you'll see a little Options Play logo right to the right of it. If you click on that, that will generate some options ideas for you and take you onto the Options Play platform. Also within the portfolios, if you go to your portfolio, you'll notice a new tab that's running across the top of your screen that says Options Play. You can click on that, and what that will do, the system will go through and look at all of the stocks in your portfolio and identify which names in that portfolio fit their covered call criteria or find optimal covered calls based on those stocks that are in the portfolio. Mm-hmm. So we'll have some webinars. There's some webinars coming up.
There's some webinars. I believe they're going to be starting tomorrow, a series of educational webinars talking about what the Options Play software is. It might seem like a lot of numbers and stuff, but it really, they do have a pretty intuitive way to go about the process. Yeah. It makes it more easy for someone like myself who's not as familiar with options to learn more. And so the webinars will be kind of education-based as well as navigation-based there on the platform. So I believe those will be starting there tomorrow.
Great. And again, Friday report, there's more information. Ways to sign up for those webinars as well. But with that said, I think that covers it for this week. Obviously last week of the quarter. So as always, we appreciate you joining us this week and look forward to be back on with you next week.